Okay, open up your Bible to John chapter 4. And there's a, you know, it seems like there's a tendency for people to be seeking God, you know, and looking for Him in different places. And you need to understand that God meets you right where you're at. And in fact, as I'm going to show you, He'll go out of His way to meet your needs. You really don't have to do anything super special other than just believe. Just believe Him and agree with His word. John chapter 4, let me get over there. And well, this is kind of long-winded what I'm going to read, but we're going to read it and get the gist of it here. John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, Thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink. Thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. The woman said unto Him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto Him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto Him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our father is worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. That's an interesting story. Now, most people will just focus on Him meeting the woman at the well and telling her about the husbands that she had and telling her that He's the living water, that He has this living water. But there's some interesting things that you need to know about Jesus. Look at verse 4. he must needs go through Samaria. Samaria, by the way, was out of the way. Where he was going, it was 3 days closer to go through Samaria to get to Galilee. Jesus would go 3 days, the Jews would go 3 days out of the way to avoid Samaria. See, Samaria was on the way where they were going. But the Jews would go 3 days out of their way to walk around Samaria. Jesus went directly into a place where the religious people would not go. And here's an interesting thing. This city that he went to, the Sychar, he went to the Sychar in verse 5, it tells us. That's not just a name. That name means falsehood and drunkenness. It was the name of reproach. He went in a place where the religious people wouldn't go, and he went to maybe the darkest place. We have too many people that don't want to rub elbows with people that aren't like them. They don't want to associate with people that maybe drink, or maybe people that don't live the way they do, or they don't go to church. There's some people that don't even want to rub elbows with somebody that goes to a different church than them. But here's Jesus. He walked right into the middle of it. Right into the place where all the religious mafia did everything they could do to avoid it. They'd walk days out of their way to not go there. Not only did he go there, but he started talking to somebody that they would really want to avoid. I wonder how many church people we have hanging around that won't talk to somebody in a bad condition. They'd avoid them. You know, avoid that part of town. Avoid that place. Avoid that person. Avoid those people. Jesus didn't avoid them. Matter of fact, Jesus went right in the middle of them. Look at verse 16. Jesus said unto her, "Go, call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said unto her, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly." See, the gift of knowledge was in operation there. Jesus knew where she was. She knew. He knew the condition she was in. He knew what she needed. Did you notice the one person on the face of this earth that had a legal right to judge her didn't? He didn't judge her. He didn't turn his nose up at her at all. Jesus asked her in verse 16 that question to help her locate herself. He didn't berate her. He knew. He didn't tear her down. Matter of fact, he was telling her about the answer. You know, if you turn back here to verse 10, he had already told her about the gift of God. one of the neatest gifts that we'll ever get is the gift of no condemnation. You know, this woman, she had a lot of reasons to feel bad. And, you know, she was living in a bad town, in a bad area, and did some bad things. And she had a lot of reasons to feel bad. And Jesus gave her the one reason to feel good, the gift of God. How about that? How much more should we be concentrated on giving people the gift of God, letting people know about the forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins, the gift of no condemnation? That should be one of our most important things on our hearts. Look down here to verse 35. You know something, I got a little story to tell. I was preaching in a Southern Baptist church, and it's funny how people think. But this lady come up to me and asked me, said, "How many times you been married?" I said, "This is the only time." "How about your wife?" I said, "Well, I'm her second one." She said, "Well, that disqualifies you from being a pastor." I said, "It does not. You better mind your own business, old woman." she kind of shut up, but she had it out for me from that time on. But see, that's what religion does. Religion spends its time trying to disqualify people. Jesus came here to qualify people. In fact, this woman right here, the religious mafia would have disqualified her completely. In fact, they threw a woman like her down in front of Jesus one time and said, according to our law, she could be stoned. And she walked away with the gift of no condemnation. Jesus didn't condemn her. Jesus came here to give us life. We all know that we're guilty before God, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God before we get born again. But once we get born again, we need to understand that everything that was wrong between us and God got washed away. Jesus gave us the gift of life. He gave us the gift of God. He gave us Himself. And then He gave us a ministry. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go tell people about the love of God. Go tell people how they've been forgiven, even though they don't know it. Tell them that God loves them. Verse 35 says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." See, the gift of life is what we're supposed to be spreading. And this is our lesson of missionary work. There's a lot of people out there. There's a big harvest out there. And we're coming to the time, and I think maybe we're in it now, where the harvester will overtake the sower. You know, I've seen that in times, you know, where I've witnessed the people and it seems almost effortless to get them born again. You know, in just a little bit of time of talking to them and they're born again. Well, we got to realize that there have been other people sowing seed into them people's hearts. There have been people praying for them. There have been people talking to them. Holy Spirit's been getting them into places where they could hear the word. God's been preparing them for that moment. And then you happen to just be there at just the right time where you sowed the seed and got to be part of the harvest. That's cool. But don't be discouraged if you witness to somebody and they reject Jesus. Now, here's the important thing. They are not rejecting you. You're not that cool. They're rejecting Jesus. You present Jesus to them. If they turn that down, they've turned Jesus down, not you. I used to feel bad when I got rejected because I thought, did I do something wrong? Did I not say it right? I mean, it really bothered me. But I didn't understand they weren't really turning me away. They were turning Jesus away. So don't be discouraged. Just keep sowing the word. You sow the word enough times, somebody's going to catch it. And they're going to end up getting born again. I heard a strange statistic one time. Somebody said it takes on average somebody hearing the gospel 7 times before they get born again. I don't know how they came up with that, but that's what they said. You don't know if you're the first time or if you're the 7th time. But this is one thing for sure. If you don't sow the word, you won't be part of the harvest. See, you won't. If you don't witness to people, they're not going to get born again. You're not going to be part of the harvest. See, they have to hear the word of faith preached to them before they can get born again. And the only way they can hear that is by you saying something to them. It don't have to be fancy. You don't have to have 5 chapters of the Bible memorized or nothing like that. You just tell people that God loves them. And more importantly, show them. Look at verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." How cool is that? He went in, he helped one woman, and she went and told her friends. See, she went and witnessed and got their attention. And then they came and they heard him and they believed on him. That's a revival. He stayed there 2 days. Not only did he do something that no other Jew would do, he stepped into Samaria, which no Jews would do. They'd walk 3 days the other way to avoid that place. And then he went to Sychar, the bad part of Samaria. And then he even conversed with the Samaritan woman. He did everything wrong according to the religious world. But he did everything right according to the gospel. He went into all the world. He didn't pre-qualify anybody. He went into all the world and preached the gospel. And then look at all those people that believed on him. All those people that had been rejected by the church world. All those people that had been rejected by the important people. All those people that were living their lives rejected were now accepted and they received the gift of God. Believe it or not, at one time you was a rough people. Before you got born again, you was a rough people. You was on your way to hell until you said, "Jesus, save me." We all have to understand that. It's by the grace of God that we got saved, and it's going to be by the grace of God that anybody else gets saved. And the only way that we received the grace of God was somebody told us about it. And the only way they're going to get saved is somebody tell them. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. Says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. See, Jesus himself was rejected. And because Jesus was rejected, we're accepted. See, he was acquainted with grief. He was rejected by men. So, it shouldn't hurt our feelings too much if we get rejected when we're telling somebody about Jesus. Because Jesus himself was rejected. Jesus was rejected by his own people. Can you imagine that? The people that should have known him rejected him. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is as good of an account as you can find in the Bible of what happened to you the minute you got born again. And the position that you got put in the important ministry that was given to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Right there, you got made a new creature in Christ. Your past was washed away. You got a new slate, a clean slate. How many times have people woke up and wished they could just start their life over with a clean slate? Guess what happened when you got born again? You started over on a clean slate. Guess what happens every day you wake up? You start over with a clean slate. Now, verse 18 says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So right there, at that very minute, when we got born again, we got reconciled back unto God. And in the same breath, we got given the ministry of reconciliation. See, the minute you got born again, you got placed into the ministry. To it that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He wasn't holding their sins against them. Remember the woman at the well? Jesus wasn't holding her past against her. He was there to tell her about the gift of God. And he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So now, we go out into the world, we go to Sychar, and we run into Sam, and he's had a few drinks. What are we going to do? Are we going to walk around Sam? Are we going to avoid him? Or are we going to go up to him and remind him how he spent all his money on beer when he could have went and bought groceries for his kids and he should have been at work instead of drinking and make him feel even worse than what he already does? Or are we going to tell him about the love of God, how God forgives him, how Jesus has come to save him? Are we going to tell him about the gift of God? See, that's where our ministry comes in, the ministry of reconciliation. We're supposed to try to reconcile people back to God. The only way we can do that is tell them about Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. Not the reciting of the law, but the goodness of God. Now that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Literally, we got put into right standing because of Jesus. Now he wants us to go tell other people how they can be in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. So we're going to tell them, we're going to show them how to walk in the Spirit so that they won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're not going to get it in reverse like a large percentage of the church does. Well, they used to tell me, you need to quit drinking, quit smoking, quit running around, and go marry some young girl and go to church. And I'd sit there and I'd think, you know how many times I quit drinking? And I don't know what the girl was going to do for me. But what they were doing, they were telling me to not walk in the lust of the flesh so that I could walk, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh so that I could walk in the Spirit. They had it just backwards. What they needed to tell me, said, hey man, God's not mad at you. Come to church. But they wanted me to get my life together before I went to church. They wanted me to do the impossible before I went to church. You know, there was a man, Jesus told a man, said that a man must be born again. The guy said, how can this be? And Jesus himself said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Let's finish up with Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. That means absolutely anybody. Everybody's qualified for salvation because of Jesus. And if you notice, Jesus, even in his earthly ministry, he didn't go to the qualified people. He went to everybody. He went into Sychar, the place that the religious world had rejected. He went all over the place. And he preached forgiveness to people. The gift of God. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in Jesus' name. We thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you that we have so many opportunities to be part of your harvest. And Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to show us how to be part of that. In Jesus' name, amen.